J1.
Number 4A.
Tonight, we will begin our investigation of the seven synonymous terms, or in other words, as we say, the seven basic elements which constitute reality. And for the last two sessions together, we have been tackling some very fundamental questions concerning our study of the science of Christian Science. And I feel that it's very important for us to constantly be awake to the various issues which are coming forth regarding our study. Therefore, I feel that it is vital for us to be awake to what is going on within the whole field of Christian Science today, and also to be awake to those great big main issues that the scientists and artists are thinking about today. So when it comes to considering issues, we must know what those main ones are, and I especially feel it's necessary within the field of Christian Science itself. So to finish what we have, we actually began last two times, I have some more things to bring up before we actually delve into mine tonight. But I would like to read to you a letter which was sent out by the Manhattan Joint Lecture Committee for Questions and Answers. This is part of the Christian Science Organization. And the title of their particular, the letterhead then, is that it's from the Manhattan Joint Lecture Committee for Questions and Answers. And this letter was dated February the 20th, 1971. And the letter reads, and I'd like to read just part of this letter. Dear friend, the two question and answer lectures to be held in May at Hunter College Auditorium are sponsored by the Christian Science Churches in Manhattan. The success of these lectures depends on each one of us, and our specific metaphysical work is urgently needed. The lectures are being specially written to appeal to the stranger, and the preparatory work we do individually and collectively determines how many newcomers will be there. On page 133 of Miscellaneous Writings, Mrs. Eddy describes how she turned to God three times a day in prayer. We members of the Joint Committee are going to devote some part of our metaphysical work three times each day to the success of these May lectures. We invite every Christian Scientist in Manhattan to join us in this work. Then they have a larger title, Researching for a Deeper Understanding of God. The following questions are to help us unify our concordance research and unify our application of the powerful qualities of God to specific support of the lectures. 1. Do we see how the infinite power of God is explained through the seven synonyms? 2. Are we more conscious than ever before of the innumerable qualities each synonym presents? 3. What specific qualities of the synonyms for God destroys the false beliefs which might keep our friends from coming to the lectures? 4. With our increased understanding of the synonyms of God, how specifically are we to handle opposition to the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mrs. Eddy? Apathy, indifference, ignorance, or hatred of truth? Material attraction, sensualism, fear, disobedience, resistance, acquisitiveness, comfort in materialism? 5. How do we handle suggestions that animal magnetism can prevent us from working daily for the lectures by claiming we are too busy, over-socializing, gossiping, etc., or watching television excessively? In our united efforts, there is no limit to what we may expect if we all study and pray together. Now, what is important to see here is that the Christian Science Church Organization now begins to ask its members to, 1, research for a deeper understanding of God, 2, to understand how the infinite power of God is explained through the seven synonymous terms, and 3, to be more conscious of the innumerable qualities which characterize each of the synonymous terms. Now, I'd like to point out a very interesting and big discrepancy. We see that about 25 years ago, the Christian Science Church Organization excommunicated John Dorley because he asked the Christian Scientists to, 1, research for a deeper understanding of God, 2, to understand what God is through the seven synonymous terms. And 3, to understand the innumerable qualities which characterize each of the synonymous terms. So today we see that the church asks its members to do exactly this very same thing. This is 25 years later. Now, it's interesting to note also that after this letter was sent out by the Manhattan Joint Lecture Committee asking the church members to research the seven synonymous terms, it was just after this letter was sent out, we read last week and saw how the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston sent out their letter to the Christian Science practitioners stating that the teachings of John Dorley and Dr. Max Kappeler were in opposition to church organization. Now, one just has to be aware of this issue, and we just have to be aware that there is a big discrepancy here. On the one hand, the church organization asks for a deeper understanding of the synonymous terms, and on the other hand, the church continues to denounce the Dorley and Kappeler teachings. And it's actually these Dorley and Kappeler teachings which are teaching a deeper understanding of the synonymous terms. Again, I'd like to give a few more examples of how it is in the air today to study the synonymous terms as we are doing here. The Christian scientists have also a program which they air from different broadcasting stations. And I understand that this summer, I think it was during August 1972, that a Christian Science radio program, which was broadcasting from New York, was asking and saying how important it was to study the seven synonymous terms. And they were saying on this program that without a right knowledge of the seven synonymous terms, Christian Science could not heal. And then also as far back as 1966, Erwin Canham, who at that time was president of the Mother Church, was delivering a lecture in which he was criticizing the New World theologians for not centering on an intelligent analysis of the term God. And he said that Christian Science could give this intelligent analysis of God. And therefore, Canham proceeds to define God through the seven synonymous terms. I'd like to read an excerpt from his lecture. Canham states, "Instead of centering on the many magnificently rational as well as spiritual perceptive ways of identifying and defining God, some of the new theologians insist on denying God. It is important to see that truth, spiritual truth, runs through all aspects of life. God is truth, just as God is mind and life and love and principle and spirit and soul." Now, for those of us here who have cultivated somewhat of a scientific ear, we can hear that Canham presents these synonymous terms in a very more or less mixed up way, we could say. But at least what we're seeing is that the church today is asking to study the synonymous terms and to make a deeper investigation into the meaning of these terms. Yet one can also see from what is coming forth from the church today that they actually do not know how to teach a scientific method of analysis. In other words, the church does not know how to teach a scientific method of analyzing science and health in the Bible. And therefore, if they do not know this scientific method of analysis, they cannot teach the scientific meaning of the synonymous terms. Now, it's interesting to see that a lecturer on the Christian Science Board of Lectureship some time ago suggested that in order to make a comprehensive list of the various ideas which characterize a synonymous term, he said it would be good to write down all the various ideas about a synonymous term that happens to come into your mind. So if you happen to be going throughout the day and if some idea happened to come into your mind about the term mind, well, then you would go and write that down on a list. Or if an idea happened to come into your mind about the term spirit, well, then you'd go and write this down on a list. Well, we begin to ask ourselves, what kind of a divine science would we have if everybody happened to write down any idea that came into their mind on a list? We just feel that if one happened to have all these various thoughts about what mind would be, and we wrote them down on a list, how could we build a science? when we have seen together that science is knowledge which is reduced to law and embodied in a system. So science cannot be based on any haphazard thoughts that come into one's mind. So we see here that the church is not aware of the exact scientific method of investigating science and health. They cannot teach, therefore, the scientific meaning of the synonymous terms. And here this lecturer was actually asking for us to interject a personal interpretation into the study of Christian Science. Now, we can ask ourselves, what actually, therefore, is the correct method of analyzing the seven synonymous terms in order to bring out their full divine meaning? And first we see that these terms, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, they have a divine meaning. And they have a divine meaning which is a divinely objective meaning. Therefore, they have a divine meaning which is totally free of any personal opinion of what that meaning is. These elements have a divine meaning which therefore makes that meaning a divinely objective fact. This is very important because the divine meaning of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the divine meaning of those seven basic constituents in being is totally different than what the common meaning is. And we know that in common language we have the terms mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. But we know that mind and spirit and soul within the common everyday usage and philosophy and whatever has various meanings, and these meanings often are in contradiction to one another. So if one just goes to the dictionary to find out what mind is, or just goes to the world's thinking about what mind is, one will run into very contradictory statements. So one must see, therefore, that these synonymous terms have a divine meaning, and that one cannot just search into the world for the common meaning of them, because there is so much open misunderstanding concerning these terms. So then, again, as I mentioned, we study for the divine meaning, which is a divinely objective fact. Now, Mary Baker Eddy, in Science and Health, just as through revelation, she was able to present a divinely objective meaning for the term God, just as she was able to do this through the seven synonymous terms, she also in turn has been able to define each one of those seven synonymous terms through the specific ideas which characterize them. So in Science and Health, we can find the divine meaning for those seven synonymous terms. And she does this by explaining mind through the ideas that characterize mind. She does this through explaining spirit through the ideas that characterize spirit. She does this by explaining soul through the ideas that characterize soul. So the divine defining which Mrs. Eddy does is done through the specific ideas of each of these synonymous terms. And therefore, she can actually present a clear-cut definition of what those terms mean. So we must turn, therefore, to Science and Health to find out what the divine meaning is concerning these terms. And when we turn to Science and Health, we must always be aware of capitalization. Now, we've gone over this before, but we must see that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in Science and Health are always capitalized in order to mean that they stand for God, or in order to mean that they stand for the divine nature. So when we run across a capitalized term in Science and Health, it means that it stands for the divine nature. But however, these seven terms are also found in Science and Health, and they also are not capitalized. We can find mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love not capitalized. When we find these terms not capitalized in Science and Health, we know, therefore, then that means that that term is signifying a human nature. So oftentimes, students run into difficulty when they do not pay attention to the fact of capitalization in Science and Health. And when they are reasoning things out with themselves, they may run into difficulty if one isn't constantly aware that the capitalized term means the divine nature of that term, and the uncapitalized term means, it's suggesting, the human nature. Now, capitalization. As we have seen, in reality, there's only really just one mind. But in order to show that within this one reality there are various degrees of awareness, Mrs. Eddy therefore uses those terms, mortal mind, human mind, and the divine mind. And it's just mortal mind is used to designate that first degree of physical awareness. And the term human mind is used to designate that second degree of moral awareness. And the term divine mind is used to designate that third degree of spiritual awareness. So therefore, mortal mind wouldn't be capitalized, or human mind isn't capitalized, but the divine mind is capitalized. So I think this is something that, therefore, is very obvious to us, to be well aware that when the small mind is stated, it means, with a small m, it's referring to mortal mind or the human mind or those first and second degrees of awareness. But when the capital M is used, it's referring, therefore, to that third degree of awareness. So, now, again, what is the correct method of scientifically analyzing science and health in order to understand the divine meaning of these seven basic elements? Now, John Dorley has shown this proper scientific method of analysis. And it was during the late 1930s, actually, that Dorley formed his research group in England and asked each one of the students to scientifically investigate science and health in order to find the divine meaning. Now, this is the method that Dorley used and asked his students to follow in order to find the divine meaning of those seven synonymous terms. And this is so unique for us today because today we have the results of this research work. But it is important for us to see actually how these early pioneers went in and brought out the divine meaning to see what the ideas were that characterized each of these synonymous terms. So this is the method, the scientific method of investigation that Dorley used. He first asked them to take one synonymous term at a time, beginning with mind, and then following through with spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. He asked them to take one term at a time and study every sentence and paragraph in Science and Health in which that term appeared. He then asked the students to ask every sentence and paragraph in which that particular synonym occurred. He asked them to ask the following questions in order to find out just what that synonym meant. He asked them to ask of that particular sentence where the synonym appeared, he asked them to ask, what is the synonym? What does the synonym have? What does the synonym do? How does the synonym express itself? And therefore, he asked them to ask every sentence just what was being said about that synonymous term. So we could take an example of mind. And wherever mind appeared in a sentence or in a paragraph in Science and Health, in order to find out what the ideas are that characterize mind, we can ask, what is mind? What does mind have? What does mind do? And how does mind express itself? Now, Dorley showed that one would usually get an answer from that particular sentence that could be stated in a single word, such as the answer to mind could be that the ideas would be creator or cause or law or power. So from a single sentence we could find out that mind is creator, or we could find out that mind has all power, or we could find out from that sentence that mind manifests itself. Or we could find out from that sentence that mind expresses itself as ideas. So Dorley asked his students then to write down all of the ideas which characterize each of the terms as they went through science and health. So again, when they began with mind, they would ask a sentence, well, what is mind? And the sentence would say, mind is the only creator. So they would write down creator. And they would come upon another sentence, and that sentence said, mind has all power. So they would write down under mind power. Then they would come to another sentence in science and health, and it would say, mind manifests itself. So they'd write down under mind manifest. And they would come to another sentence which says, mind expresses itself as ideas. So they would write down, therefore, ideas. And already under mind, they would begin to get the tone or the feeling of what mind is. They would see that mind is creator, has power, it manifests itself, and expresses itself through ideas. And already one begins to get ideas and tones of what mind is. So by doing this over many, many months and years, the students soon had a comprehensive list of all the ideas which characterized mind. Now during these days, these Dorley students had to be very sharp in their investigation of science and health, because we soon see that many of the ideas which Mary Baker Eddy gives in science and health to characterize a synonymous term already relate to the fourfold operation of the word Christ, Christianity, and science. And we see that many of these ideas were already used by Mrs. Eddy in combination with other synonymous terms. And we also see that oftentimes a counterfeit determines the use of the synonymous term. So one had to be sharp to know just in which way those terms were being used in science and health. It was really quite an adventure, and if one speaks to these Dorley students at that time, you always hear how they felt that it was quite an adventure for them to go home and be alone and be quiet with their textbook, and to go through that textbook and to find out what the divine meaning was for each one of those synonymous terms. And I can remember a student of John Dorley telling me how she and others would approach this study in a very orderly fashion. And she said that they would have 7 copies of Science and Health. They would have lined up, you know, in front of them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different copies of Science and Health. And she said that with just one copy of Science and Health, they would go through that first copy and mark all the references which had to do just with mind. And then in the second copy of Science and Health, they would go through that and mark all the references that had to do just with spirit. Then in the third copy of Science and Health, they would go through that and mark all the references which mentioned soul. And then in the fourth copy of Science and Health, they'd go through Science and Health and go through every sentence and every paragraph and mark everywhere principle appeared. And then in the fifth copy of Science and Health, they'd go through every sentence and every paragraph and mark everywhere life appeared. And then in the sixth Science and Health, they would go through every sentence and every paragraph and mark where truth appeared. And in the seventh Science and Health, they would go through every sentence and every paragraph and mark just where love appears. Now, you see, this was a very scientific investigation and has nothing to do with personal opinion. And when we hear criticism coming out that, well, Dorley's teachings are based on personal opinion, you can say, forget it. These people went through very painful scientific labors to bring forth the ideas which characterize each of these synonymous terms, and they were totally free of any personal interjection. They just very laboriously went through all synonymous terms through 7 different science and health. So we can see, therefore, that these people at this particular time, these students were great spiritual pioneers. And we today have the results of their work. Now, the compendiums for the study of Christian Science during 1950 and 1952, Dr. Kappeler with some co-workers published the compendiums for the study of Christian Science. They're a series of 10 booklets. Now, these compendiums, therefore, present the results of the many years of night after night after night after night of a scientific investigation of science and health. which Dr. Kapler and these co-workers did. And to think how fortunate, really, one is to have the result of their investigation out in booklet form. Now, this class, actually, what we will be doing, therefore, is basing our investigation on the seven synonymous terms on the compendiums. Therefore, we won't ask each one of us to buy seven science and health and to go all the way back again and to mark up those seven science and health and find for yourself the ideas which characterize each of the synonymous terms. But yet we must see that these compendiums are a guide. They really aren't here for the student to feel that this is a total comprehensive list of the seven synonymous terms, but these are a few of the ideas which characterize mind. Now, what I would like to do, first of all, with us here tonight, is just to go over very carefully the methodology needed in order to study these compendiums. We're laying very sensitive groundwork. We've been laying very sensitive groundwork for the last two sessions together. These are things that we must all understand and be aware of. After we go over and so each one thoroughly understands the methodology needed in order to study each one of these compendiums, then we will be free to flow spiritually with each of these ideas, and we can therefore flow spiritually together with all of the ideas in the compendiums. Now, in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy states, "Reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind, we begin with mind, which must be understood through the idea which expresses it and cannot be learned from its opposite, matter." So we also will begin with mind, and we will gain an understanding of mind, therefore, through the ideas which characterize mind. Now, mind, therefore, the whole compendium number 4 is devoted to just the term mind. Now, before you, on your sheets of illustration material, you have a sheet there entitled Mind. Now, on this sheet, you will find all the various ideas and shadings of ideas which characterize mind as presented in compendium number 4. Now, as I mentioned, this list which you have before you, which is not intended actually to be an exhaustive list on the ideas which characterize these terms, but this list is presented really just as an aid for your further investigation into the term mind. What one will find in these compendiums is that at the back of every compendium and at the back of one will find an appendix.